Heads with winter vacationers returning from Bermuda is sailing into New York Harbor. The New York Customs inspectors have no reason to suspect contraband aboard this vessel. Only the personal belongings of these pre-jet jet-setter passengers and perhaps a holiday gift or two purchased in the British Playground Islands. There is one name on the passenger list least suspicious of all. Miss Mary Ewing Outerbridge, creme de la creme, surely the most attractive young member of the socially prominent Staten Island Outerbridges. That is she, disembarking from the Kanema right now. Servants take her luggage to the customs inspection area. Pure formality. Young Miss Outerbridge waits, apparently impatiently. But what is this? One of the customs inspectors is approaching. May we have a word with Miss Outerbridge privately? The sleek, chic society belle follows the official back to the inspection area. Once there, the man points to a large parcel. It has been opened by inspectors. If you please, ma'am, what is this? The young lady's eyes flash at this unwarranted intrusion into her personal effects. The official explains that he's only doing his duty, and he repeats his request for identification of this curious cargo. Miss Outerbridge hesitates, and then, enunciating clearly, she announces, "That, sir, is my sticky." "I beg your pardon, ma'am. My sticky," reiterates Miss Outerbridge, and she further insists that considering there is nothing even remotely like it anywhere in the United States, the customs people should just prescribe whatever duty they feel appropriate and be done with this time-wasting foolishness. But you see, that's the problem. Since the customs officials have never seen anything even vaguely resembling Miss Outerbridge's sticky, they cannot even guess what duty to charge. By now, Miss Outerbridge is furious. "Sir, you will kindly unhand my sticky." The inspector will do no such thing. In fact, he'll confiscate that particular parcel pending a judgment of his superiors. At that, Ms. Outerbridge storms away, declaring that the customs people have not heard the last of this. Well, there's a happy ending. Miss Mary Ewing Outerbridge, delayed by customs upon her return from Bermuda, was reunited with her sticky. It required the assistance of her influential family, but her sticky was returned to her duty-free. And no sooner was this accomplished than she took the prized paraphernalia that she'd procured in Bermuda out to her Staten Island cricket club. Well, Miss Outerbridge became the talk of Staten Island, for indeed she was not only the first in her posh community, but the first person in the whole country to have obtained the necessary equipment for the newly innovated, theretofore virtually unheard of, sticky, complete with balls and rackets and a net. What would later be called a tennis set. That's right. Despite the bewilderment of customs inspectors and their attempt to intervene, a woman, young Mary Outerbridge, in February of 1874, introduced the sport of tennis to the United States. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, we're back. I'm getting counseled on my radio etiquette, so I always appreciate any and all feedback. What you guys miss?
You're the one that was pushing buttons.
We got a call. Go ahead. Thank you for rescuing me. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I've got two issues I want to bring up. One is what the governor said this earlier this week or last week about Diablo Canyon. What I understand he said was that he's going to postpone the decision to the next governor. He punted.
Correct.
And this is what you call passing the buck. The buck stops somewhere else. And to me, it's outrageous. My wife was of the opinion if he wasn't going to make a decision, he should have kept his mouth shut and not said anything at all. But and it's putting PG&E in a bind because, according to other people I've talked to, they have to make a decision by this fall whether to order more uranium to keep the plant open past 2030. And if the decision gets postponed long enough, they won't have enough time to get the uranium they need.
Well, I suspect that's probably the reason why.
By design.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So yeah, I mean, if Newsom can no longer be governor, assuming we continue forward with this election, that January 1st, we would have a new governor. So whoever the new governor might be, then it's really important that they're right on top of the timing and what's required regarding Diablo.
When is the governor sworn in? Is it before the end of the calendar year, or is it January?
No, I think
or?
It's January. I think it's the first week of January. Okay. I don't know that it's January 1st, but I think it's the first business day in January, something to that effect.
Well, I suspect his move is, you know, continued slimy Newsom type stuff. He probably does not want it to continue. And instead of coming straight out and saying I don't want to keep Diablo Canyon open, I'll just punt for the next person, knowing that if the decision's not made in a certain amount of time, then it's going to cause it to shut down. Now, I've kind of become fascinated with the emerging technologies in nuclear energy, in particular, and the what I call the plug and play reactors. And I'm not really up on how Diablo was built in the 80s, early 80s.
70s.
But I think they only have two of the reactors out of the four or five that they could have.
I know Barry Fisher's had some people. He had a guest on back in June, mm-hmm. which I found fascinating, and actually went and researched their company. But some of the technologies that's coming in, I'm wondering, you know, if the intent of the left and the environmentalists is to do away with nuclear energy, when you look at some of the technologies that are coming down the line, they're basically taking the military, the U.S. Navy technology, and making it so
Tesla technology.
So you can, you know, taking that technology so you can basically have a plug and play reactor. And I'm wondering if, you know, at the end of the day, if the left's plan is to shut down nuclear reactors, all they're going to do is basically, you know, have it backfire on them and wind up with more nuclear reactors in the state of California. California will not be able to survive economically without nuclear energy.
I think just, you know, if you have all of the arguments, you know, that they were trying to put in the wind farms and trying to have Avila Beach, you know, area be a deep water port, and Morro Bay estuary and all of that region be a battery storage plant. So the irony to me is that you have the San Luis Coastal School District who's up in arms about Diablo not paying the full amount of the property taxes that would support their school district. And so here you have the left fighting against the left for their insanity, you know. So on the one hand, they're trying to shut down the nuclear, and then they're trying to have PG&E pay all of the property taxes that they should be receiving because of the sales and the production that's going on at Diablo. So the school district is now, hey, we're counting on that money. That's our money. So you have to keep going. And even if you don't keep going, you have to keep paying. So what, as a former teacher, what would you look at in that case? I mean, who prevails?
Okay. Well, a couple things. One, San Luis Coastal by far is the richest school district in the county. And over the years, and it's because of Diablo Canyon and before that, Morro Bay Power Plant, they have, as far as I know, never shared any of that money with any other school district in the county. And so their kids have had it really nice, and the rest of them, school districts like the one I worked at in Templeton, have struggled. And now they even want money that I don't think they deserve, and they won't get if Diablo does close. But the city of San Luis told a spokesperson for PG&E that they want to close the Diablo Canyon, the city council does, but they want to keep the taxes flowing in anyway.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't pencil out.
At least not right now. I mean, they could change the law and say, you know, we're taxing you for shutting down.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But the other thing is, when the Coastal Commission meeting, when I went to, and it was on Zoom, but anyway, they came up with this plan to give most of the land away that PG&E owns. Actually, I paid for as a rate holder. That's my land.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give it away to various environmental groups, including Indian tribes like Chumash. And yet they want to keep the property taxes nice and high. The Indian groups aren't going to want to pay those taxes. But I think what they'll do is build a casino as soon as they get control of that land. Their claim is they're going to keep it pristine and wonderful and, you know, beautiful, but they need a casino and a parking lot and a hotel to make money.
With a nice view of the ocean.
Yeah, with a nice view of the ocean. So it's okay. The other issue.
Interesting is if the Coastal Commission would come back and say, hey, you're building on a fault line, and go through all of the same reasons that they say that Diablo should be shut down.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Okay, your second reason. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, that's okay. The second point I wanted to bring up was, I understand from somebody who's on this phone call that the county clerk recorder is going to make some changes in the elections procedures for this upcoming election. And I heard them say that the last election was perfect. If it was perfect, why do they need to make changes?
Good point. Why?
Well, it wasn't me.
If it ain't
so
broke, don't fix it. No, what they're trying to do, keep in mind, you know, where we've come from the 90s, where it started with the motor voter, you know, you go in and get your car registered and then you get registered to vote, to the early teens where Alex Padilla, who was Secretary of State, the father of the vote-by-mail ballot, we used to have something called absentee ballots where you had to request a ballot and receive it in the mail. Now we have universal mail-out ballots, meaning you don't request it, you don't have to have any verification. If you are on the voter rolls listed, you will receive at least one ballot, sometimes two, three, four, or in the case of Chad Bianco, sheriff of Riverside County, his son received five ballots. So the point is that the vote-by-mail ballots, once they are sent out, we lose chain of custody. We do not know where those go. We don't know exactly who's returning it. And if the only safeguard is the signature match, I assure you that is not enough to be able to trust the integrity of our elections. That's the voter roll side. We haven't even gotten to where we have the machines and the counting is not an image. You know, we used to have the optical readers where, you know, you take a test or an SAT and you feed it in and, okay, it's an optical reader and here are the results. It's not like that anymore. It's very sophisticated. And the tabulators actually have some of the, they can be accessed remotely. Some of the parts are built in China, sent to Korea, relabeled, and then they come over here and they have inside them internal modems that can be accessed. So what are we doing with all of this? Remember 200 years ago when you had a piece of paper and you checked a box or you got out your ink quill pen and you said, I vote for Kenny Enny. It was read out loud everyone there, and they put a vote down for Kenny Enny. So can we get back to that, please? Vote in person. On election day, by the way, that is constitutional that we have an election day. It's set forth in the Constitution, and I believe that we need to get back to that. And to your point, what will be changing this coming election was that you can now, let's make it a little even more confusing, you can use the vote-by-mail ballot that came to your house and walk that voted vote-by-mail ballot into your elections official, into the precinct, into the downtown slow elections office, the Atascadero office, and use that vote-by-mail ballot without the envelope if you're walking in person. Your signature is not checked, unfortunately. You don't need an ID. You just walk in with a ballot and you say that you are that person. You sign saying that you are that person and that you're turning in a ballot. So that's the change. It's becoming closer and closer and closer to what's called a vote center county. And a vote center county basically has a kiosk. You can go into any kiosk and say, I'm in precinct 108 or I'm in precinct 592. Or whatever it is, get that ballot prints out and you vote on that ballot. And it's removing the vote from the voter and removing the vote from the counting. That's my issue with it. You lose all chain of custody and all transparency. But thanks for highlighting that. And we shall see. So what's interesting to me, have you seen that there's the Slow City vote is doing something a little bit different this time for their city council members?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. Yeah, this is called One Vote. So think about this as it's a nonpartisan position for the city council, but each person will have one vote, even though there are two offices and two people that will be elected.
You only get to vote on one of them?
Exactly. So you vote for one, and the top two vote getters take the two positions. I have a problem with that because you're not actually voting for two. You're voting one vote, and two people get in.
Wow. Yeah, if we can screw it up, they'll find a way to do it.
Well, what's the difference between that and the at-large, then? That just sounds to me like it's at-large.
You're still voting for an at-large position. It's still a race. You might have, in school board, for example, if there are three positions available, you vote for three.
Okay, so this is one. So say this all again, and I'm not tracking.
It's in the Slow San Luis Obispo City Council. You vote one time. You have a whole list of people who are running for City Council, and you put one vote on there. But the top two vote getters will be the two people who take those two positions.
So their City Council is at large. It's not. They don't have areas like our City Council.
Correct.
I find that surprising. I'm going to research that while you're talking more.
He never believes me.
I don't. I don't believe anybody, so don't feel like you're being singled out.
I'm on the cutting edge. I know all of these things. I appreciate you doing the research. Thank you. Because then it just, backs up what I'm saying. So thank you for bringing that up.
Sure. I heard this morning that the Tascadero school board, which is at large, have somebody threatened a lawsuit, so they're now going to go to districts.
Yep.
I think they're
the same people that threatened Paso.
Are they?
And I, my recommendation to the Tascadero school board was fight it. Say, okay. Because right now, I still think that they're going to wind up having to change it back after Calais versus Louisiana. Because when you look at the justification, if it's the same party that threatened to sue Paso, the reason, the basis of the lawsuit was race. And that's what Calais versus Louisiana, that's what the Supreme Court said was unconstitutional. So I think they're going to wind up having to change it back. And I'm actually going to push in the Paso School District that we change it back. We have one trustee area. It's like four blocks. So it's just ridiculous.
God. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys.
All right. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening.
All right, Darcy, I know you don't have a problem. Oh, we got another call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hang on. I'm just wondering about this contract with the Dominion voting machine that's coming to an end, or what is going on with that?
No, what's actually happened is that it was, quote, renewed in effective July 1st of 2024. So it's a 5-year contract that then can be renewed. And keep in mind that Dominion Voting Systems, Inc., for quite a long time, so it became Dominion bought out Sequoia, that bought out Diebold, that bought out Smartmatic, that bought out, you know, so it's gone through several different sequences of name changes. It's now Liberty Vote out of Missouri. But Liberty Vote, if you look up any status or, you know, at the Secretary of State maintains all of the companies that do business in the state of California. And Liberty Vote, if you look up their name under the business search, you'll find that all of the activity that's the former activity of Dominion Voting Systems. So my issue with that was that Liberty Vote, now previously Dominion Voting Systems, was in forfeit status with the Franchise Tax Board when this county renewed that contract July 1st of 2024.
All right. Thanks, Carl. We got to go to a break. Thanks, Darcy. Cut it off just in time.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks finishing lower on weak economic data, Middle East tensions, and declining consumer sentiment. Tech and healthcare were the worst performing sectors while energy advanced. Energy stocks gained today as oil prices rose, with West Texas Intermediate crude at around $82 a barrel. And retailers logged weaker sales in July, with retail sales falling 0.6% last month, which was the biggest decline since May of 2025. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that PayPal is in talks to sell itself to a group that includes Stripe and the private equity firm Advent International. Shares of PayPal rose nearly 2%. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, United Health Group, and Chevron. The Dow decliners, Salesforce, Goldman Sachs, and Home Depot. The Dow down 108 points. The Nasdaq lower by 74. S&P 500 down 13. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Ryan, what do painters do when it gets cold outside?
I don't know. What?
Well, they put on another coat, of course.
Seth, that joke needs some touch-up.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
We paint interiors year-round.
But fall and winter, That's when it's perfect time.
Yeah, perfect time for a fresh look.
We do full interior painting, residential and commercial. We work with your schedule.
Plus cabinet painting that makes old kitchens look brand new.
Clean lines, no mess, no stress.
From one room in your home to a whole office building, tasting room, medical suites, we've got you covered.
This season, call the Peak Brothers. I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers.
And everybody loves a great experience.
That's Peak Painting. P-E-E-K painting.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Okay, we're back. We're still researching City of San Luis, Luis Obispo citywide single vote. Makes absolutely no sense to me. But they say it's safe. They say it's fine. So I'm sure Darsha wants
you
to talk more about this. So go ahead.
For two positions. Think about what that does to our elections. Why not just have our elections be one vote and all the rest of the congressional seats and the state legislature and the school boards all get decided by that one vote? Why not have it be from, you know, everything on the ballot?
All right, there are a couple of texts that I got to catch up on. One was the bid to paint the high school came in under $300,000. Okay, well, that's good. I don't remember. I remember I approved it. And then the next one is, if you shut down Diablo, what would PG&E use to produce what Diablo does? Hamster wheels?
I think that was one of the issues with the 3CE energy was that it supposedly was all clean energy, except when there was a crisis and they were in need of certain power surges, and so they needed more energy. Then they could go out and get the same coal, nuclear, other non-renewable sources, quote unquote.
And
hydroelectric and nuclear are the safest, cleanest forms of energy that we mass produce at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line answer to, you know, how are they going to produce that? They're not. They're going to import it, is the bottom line. They're going to wind up bringing it in from...
Just like our oil.
They're going to have to import it. And the bottom line is it's going to increase the cost to the consumer. I still think, have you heard what the federal government's talking about doing with oil production in the state of California? Federalizing it? Which I think it's a brilliant idea. You can federalize it under the auspices of making it a national security issue. So, and if you go back to, you know, back, I don't know when they changed all this, but things like the Teapot Dome back in the 1920s, you know, a lot of the oil reserves and the oil fields were national resources. And I mean, you're kind of, you know, going to the, you know, what's old is new, but it would completely take the state out of it at that point, and they could sue to try to stop it. But you could potentially do the same thing with nuclear in some places. You could establish nuclear power plants on federal property.
Can I just go back to that the president, commander-in-chief, has the authority to be able to, and the federal government, when there's funding going to the states, when there's funding going to the school boards, there's funding school districts, so there's funding going anywhere, the federal government has the right to RST, reduce, suspend, or terminate contracts and the funding coming from the federal government. So at some point, and I have information, Chris Street from, he reports to New California State, but he's an economist. He helped Orange County come out of the bankruptcy. And at some point, these do become a matter of national security, because think of what happens. How much food does California grow and export to the rest of the United States and to the world, but to the rest of the United States what oil are we could produce but are not. We're importing our oil. That's affecting many parts of our economy. And then when you look at the energy, if that energy is causing other states, even nearby states, to then be depleted of water, power, oil, all of these natural resources and resources that should be produced, it is a matter of national security. And when a state, I'm constitutional, when a state says that they're a sanctuary state and they're allowing in anyone and everyone that wants to come into the borders and be paying for those things, the federal government has already said, listen, we know about the fraud. We know that there are non-citizens on the voter rolls. We know that you're paying for, we are not going to be paying for the Medicare anymore. And so those funds have been cut off. And so what Newsom is doing and where it has been going, I believe very quickly, it is a matter of national security. Because when one state is now having, I mean, are all the other states, if you're in Louisiana, do you want to be paying for California's being a sanctuary state and exporting resources and importing oil and being dependent on that? Would you want to do that? No. It becomes a matter of national security for the United States of America. And what Article 4, Section 4 does that say?
Oh, don't start.
But that's
Change,
where we
got
are.
A text. We got a this text was addressed to me, but I think they're talking about you. So it says, missed a text, Kenny. And then it says, years and years and you election fraud clowns have yet to prove anything. All in caps. You just spew propaganda. Here come your excuses. Would you like to respond?
Oh, absolutely. So I will address that. So 6 years ago, we were told that there might have been a Wuhan lab leak. And 5.5 years ago, we were told that there was a shot that was going to be the safest and securest and, you know, what a wonderful thing this was going to be, even for pregnant women. And we were told that masks work, and then we were told that masks don't work, and then we were told that you must wear a mask. And that it was the law. And it was never the law. It was a mandate. And a mandate's not a law. And all I'm saying is now we are here, 5.5 and 6 years later, with Dr. Fauci, who I believe has committed crimes against humanity. We have Dr. Fauci that is taking the fifth 111 times. So the same with the election. I believe that COVID was just a way so that we could have November 2020 election be undermined, manipulated, sideways, whatever you want to call it. I've seen the numbers. I know what the numbers are. I've seen the unpacked algorithms in the November 2020 election. And I can go through 15, 20 states where we have evidence. The evidence is there. We have the machines. We have everything. And I know at some point in time, we will come back here and go, oh, you know, that Darsha, she was sounding crazy, but what if she's right?
So take that, texter. What, you can respond now. We got another one. This one's pretty good. It says, for Darsha and Kenny, and I don't know if it's supposed to be a link or what, but it says, Wikipedia.org, Wiki, the Bickersons.
That's actually
if the
funny.
Shoe fits.
Back and forth.
But there's no link.
As long as we don't get to SNL, you know, Jane, you ignorant slut.
I don't think you can say that on the radio.
I just did. Sorry.
Sorry, Kevin.
You were supposed to hit the 7-second delay.
Is that all
that
it is?
That was one of the buttons that you were supposed to push. But thank you. I actually really appreciate Kenny. I don't understand why he won't. I'll give this to you. I appreciate that you want to find out for yourself. I want everyone to find out for themselves.
Oh,
but
you're talking about
more than enough.
You're talking
evidence.
About San Luis Obispo single voter?
Just about anything I say. that doesn't sound right. I'm going to look for myself. Oh, well, you are right.
I still don't have an answer. It doesn't the webpage. Darsha is going to go to the public information thing tomorrow and report back on Friday.
Yeah, so all that's happening is the county is holding an informational overview of the San Luis Obispo citywide one vote, where you vote for two people, you get one vote to vote for two positions. I don't like it. I know what happens. It's like rank choice voting. Rank choice voting, all you have to remember is that it smells. It's rank.
Well, the question I still have is, as I'm reading vote through this webpage, is it how many seats are open?
There are two seats that are open.
Okay.
And so the top two
I don't see that
vote getters. So, you know, one person get I don't even know their numbers, but let's say one person gets 10,920 votes and the other one gets 9,260 and the third person that's running gets, you know, whoever's running. But the top two, each person only votes one time. But two people will be, quote, elected because they got the top two number of votes. So you could have 150 people running, and whoever voted used their one vote to vote for the most number of times. Those are the top two vote getters. But each one only got one vote from each person.
Okay, the way you're describing it,
it doesn't make sense, right?
Well, the way you're describing it actually does make sense, and I don't necessarily have a big issue with it. I mean, it basically, in a lot of states, you have to have the major, you have to have at least 50% to avoid a runoff. So what you're saying is, let's say you have two seats, you have five people running. And the top two, if you and I are part of the five and you and I get the top two number of votes, we win. So in that large race, that's the way it usually works, right?
No, in an at-large race, you would have two votes for two people.
Okay.
For two seats.
All right.
That's the difference. In this case, there's only one vote for two seats. So I can only vote for one person, even though there are two seats. So technically, I'm not voting for that position.
All right, we'll go to the information session tomorrow and report back on Friday. And we'll see if we can clear that up.
I go to water boards. Why not go to this?
I've been waterboarded, actually. all right, we had another text.
And did you like it? That's what I wanted.
No, I did not. Another text. I saw the Paso Robles High School Library has its own section for the LGBTQ and Pride. Yes, that is true. And it's if you go, I think the website's called takebacktheclassroom.org or something like that. If this is a concern for parents, this is another topic I'm going to have to bring up at the school board meeting. But right now, anybody can go into the library and check out any inappropriate book. And this is actually, I appreciate this text because it's a segue into something that I wanted to discuss. But any child can go in and check out any book. And following the Mamouvi Taylor decision in last June, and I forgot the name of the decision in Tennessee, some groups around the country, like Advocates for Faith and Freedom, and then there's a new group called California School Opt Out Rights, but it's called optoutcalifornia.org, and you can go into these web pages, and they have form letters that allow you to opt your child out of any sort of teaching that you think is controversial. It's not limited just to sex ed. It's limited to it includes history, anything that you think is controversial. If there's a questionnaire that is sent home, you can opt out. And the website again is optoutcalifornia.org.
Spelled out California.
No, just CA. Optoutca.org. So there's another website I wanted to bring up too, so I appreciate that text. We'll be back in a second.
Attend the 30th ever Creston Classic Rodeo, September 10th, 11th, and 12th. All of your rodeo favorites like barrel racing, roping, penning will be at the Creston Classic Rodeo, and don't miss the famous mutton busting. Watching the little cowboys and cowgirls trying to stay on those sheep is always exciting. For more information, check out the Creston Classic Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and at CrestonClassicRodeo.org.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner-broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
Summer evenings call for something special, and Cella Restaurante and Bar at Allegretto Vineyard Resort delivers just that. Savor rustic Northern Italian cuisine crafted from regionally foraged ingredients paired with an extensive wine list and garden-inspired craft cocktails, all in the warm, inviting atmosphere Cello is known for. Whether it's dinner on the patio or drinks at the bar, Cello is the perfect Paso Robles summer night out. Visit CelloPasoRobles.com to reserve your table.
Get back to voting, so I only got like 30 seconds to get the rest of the information out to the parents. But again, that website, I know a lot of parents contact me and they complain about the stuff that not only Paso schools but all schools send home with them. And what a lot of these groups like optoutca.org and Advocates for Faith and Freedom are advising right now is it's important to start standardizing your complaints and your decisions to opt out. And I think it's an anticipation of a class action lawsuit, frankly. I've also told a lot of teachers, and you know, even though I beat up on the school district, I love teachers. And a lot of teachers have wanted to opt out of what's known as the PRISM training. And the PRISM, not prison, PRISM, like what you look through, the light refracting Darsha's looking at me crazy.
E-R-I-S-M.
This is state mandated training, which essentially was forcing teachers to violate their faith by forcing them to sign documents that said, you know, I will acknowledge somebody's preferred pronouns. I will acknowledge that boys can become girls and dogs can become cats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there have been teachers who decided on their own to opt out, but the risk always remains that by not complying, you could face retaliation. So Advocates for Faith and Freedom have been pushing another option for teachers so they can sign en masse, essentially every time somebody submits this letter to their school district. Advocates for Faith and Freedom get a copy, and you're collecting a registry of names for a class action lawsuit. So people are pushing back, which is good, and that's what I've wanted. And if you feel that you're alone and nobody else is doing this, go to these web pages, Advocates for Faith and Freedom, or California optoutca.org.
And that opt-out page is... I was actually really surprised. Susanna Luthi was talking about it on one of the shows a couple weeks ago. And appreciate her for bringing these forward. But what I was seeing was there were a list of, it's like, oh gosh, I didn't even know that was happening. How would I have known to opt out? So there's, you can opt out of one or 20. And there's quite a long list of different areas that you can opt out.
Yeah, she sent me some stuff too, and I'm sure she's going to bring this up on Monday. But Sonia Shaw, there's going to be a fundraiser for Sonia Shaw at the end of the month, and Susanna's pushing hard to make that happen. But she's also sent out a couple of emails. Yeah. There's some other groups called FAIR. And they've got an article that went out. It's called Two Letters That Every Parent Should Have. And FAIR, I'm looking for a web page, which I don't see. But as Darsha talks, which we know she's good at, I'll look for it.
I believe that the Sonia Shaw event is later this month. That's correct. It's in Cambria. I think it's on the 29th. I'm not able to go, but... I do believe that that's when it occurs. You can go to Sonia Shaw. That's S-O-N-J-A Shaw, S-H-A-W. There's also this evening, we'll just do a PSA. There's a Steve Hilton event, Shannon Kessler, Save Girls Sports. And we have some amazing candidates that are moving forward in the November election that are trying to stand up for the schools and for our children and protecting our children. And I just so appreciate, because that's what it comes down to. I appreciate people running for school board, et cetera. I do have one area of concern having to do with the state. And Kenny, I don't know even if you know on the school board, but the California Comptroller has reported for the first month of the 2026-2027 fiscal year that Governor Newsom had short-checked state and local spending by about $400 million in July. And the non-payment is in addition to the $10.5 billion Newsom's short-checked state and local operations during the last fiscal year. So the school boards, the city councils, the county governments, the state of California is in a world of hurt. So financially, fiscally, irresponsibly, and they owe the federal government $22 billion having to do with the EDD, the unemployment insurance fraud going back into the COVID years. So that still needs to play out. We've got a lot of the higher level officials. There were two, the chief of staff for Javier Becerra and Governor Newsom, that were wearing a wire. And there's a lot of information that still needs to come out.
Caller, you're on the air. You only got a couple minutes.
Yeah, hi, this is Murray Powell calling. How you guys doing?
How are you?
It's funny, I was just looking up an article I'd seen a couple of days ago about this short checking that Darcy just mentioned. And if you haven't seen it, I can send this to you. It's on the internet.
Anyway,
have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I know Darcy. We know each other very well, Darcy and I, when it comes to fact-checking each other. So anyway, real quick, because I know you're running out of time here. So there's a comment in this article. It's all about this whole fake balanced budget deal that Darcy mentioned. But with respect to schools, there's a comment in here that according to the Mountaintop Times, Newsom's deferred obligations include failing under law to pay the minimum of about 41% of state revenues to fund public schools under Prop 98. I have no idea what Prop 98 is. And they're estimating that at least $4.4 billion is the shortfall for school funding is growing at about $1 billion a month. This is all part of the budget deficit stuff. So I was just wondering, Kenny, if there's been anything with the Paso Robles school district about being shorted on funding that's supposed to be coming to the school district or not.
No, and I have asked about that because last year they did the same thing, and I forgot the exact. This year, I think it was $5 billion for the FY 26-27. For FY 25-26, I want to say it was like $15 billion that they shorted.
Wow.
Part of that was paid back, and I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. But so they essentially, what Prop 98 is that was the law that was passed, I believe, in the early 90s. That mandated that there would always be a fixed percentage of the state budget that would be dedicated to education. And
yeah, this article says 41% of state revenues to fund public schools.
I thought it was 48%, but maybe it's 41%. But it was in the 40s that a fixed percentage always has to go to education. And so what they've started doing is essentially, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. To answer your question there in the district, is it going to impact us? Probably. Does the board care about it? Nah. whatever the staff tells them, they'll, you know, the metric for success at a board meeting lately is how quickly can we get out of there. So,
yeah.
And what snacks are there? I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, I did actually bring it up, but, you know, when it comes from another person and then I might have brought it up, but it comes from another person that knows the same article, that information has been coming out. And every month, Chris has been writing in the Mountaintop Times about the fiscal status of. And he gets the legislative analyst's office on the 10th of the month. They were late. They didn't even issue their report, which is kind of like an audit. It's the controller's office. And so they don't exaggerate or lie. They kind of tell it like it is a little bit more. And they were even late this time. They didn't quite know what they were going to put out. It clearly wasn't really approved. So thank you for bringing that up, and we'll continue to stay on that. But that's my understanding, is that things have been delayed, short checked, and who knows where it's going to all happen. But
all right, well, thanks for fact checking her too.
Yeah.
All right, we're running out of time quickly. PSA, looks like Cal Coast News is up. Darcia, your troll is back. Doesn't say nice things about you. And then lastly, I think we're both here next week. And I want to give a shout out to the lovely and talented Mrs. Inney for moving her rescue.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL was brought to you by Lynn Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vent start a fire. Contact Dylan at lynnpatrolca.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.